Well, I wanted to start again this evening. We're talking about our identification with Christ, and it's all with this theme of his resurrection life and looking at our identification. You know, that seems just to use a natural description from the dictionary, Webster's, it says the word identification, which again, you know, the words identification, identity, something identical or identified, all could be considered with this definition. But it says to consider something or treat something as the same, the condition or fact of being the same in all qualities, under consideration, sameness or oneness. So when we consider the fact of being the same in all qualities, we're looking at this natural description or definition of a word in light of who we are or who we have become in Christ. So when the devil sees us, he doesn't see me. You know, he wants to get us to focus more on our natural selves and who we are, all of our imperfections, you know, and I could say all of our quirky little things, and he'll try to bring up your past and what you did, what you said, how you conducted yourself. Just remind him of who you are in Christ. But our true identity is found in Christ. You know, I'm thinking about this, you know, years ago when I was working in a professional job. Years ago, when I got out of college, I was working. After I got out of engineering school, I started working for a utility company doing engineering work, doing blueprints and different things for them. And then I transitioned because I just wanted to. I transitioned over into their programming department and ultimately became a manager, director over a team of programmers, and we programmed software for a certain area, for, you know, a certain area that I was responsible for in the company. And there was a young man that worked for me, and he was a character. He was just a funny guy. And we worked together for a number of years. He reported to me. And after he left the company, he called me, and, you know, knowing how he was, I picked up the phone. I had no idea what he was going to say or do. He was just that kind of way. And I, you know, began to talk with him, and he said, I wanted to say something to you or share something. And I was ready. I was like, okay, what is it? And he said, I got saved. You know, and I thought he was, because that's just the way he was, I thought he was going to say something else or mock something or do something because they knew I was a Christian. But he said, no. He said, I became like you. He said, I got saved and I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I began to rejoice with him on the phone and talk with him. But this is what he said to me that I remember all these years. This is, I'm going back now over 40 years. He said to me, he said, Ed, when I got saved, he said it was like a veil, a fog. He said a fog was lifted from my eyes. And he said, I knew what my purpose was on this earth. So when we become, the reason I'm saying that or sharing this story is that when we become a new creature in Christ, we should go from darkness to light. In other words, there should be a change in our thinking. Now, no, it's not perfect. It needs to be renewed. But there should be an identity with heaven. There should be an identity such that you begin to know your purpose. You begin to hear from heaven where you're supposed to go and what you're supposed to do. And that identity brings this relationship with Christ. And you're not just out here bumping. you know, not knowing what to do and where to go. You have a new identity. You have a new direction. You are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And he's designed a plan and a direction for you. So it left an impression upon me years ago, and I just share that story because we all, in some way, have experienced that. So let's start this evening looking at the New Living Translation of 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know, we're familiar with this, but I want to just meditate on this a little bit this evening. In the New Living Translation, it says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become what? A new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun." You know, the devil, he will try to get you to focus on natural things, on yourself, on your past, on your current situation. He'll try to get you to think about current situations, past situations. And this says here, I have a new life. I've got a new identity. I'm a new person in Christ. And Living Bible has another way of expressing it. It says, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. He's a new life has begun. So you're not the same anymore. Now, you know, I shared Sunday, you know, that, you know, I just think, and some of us have maybe had a similar experience, maybe different. You know, we all were caught up in things in life and natural things. You know, we were following our natural passions. But I remember, you know, in working, going through college and after college, I worked construction for a while as an electrician. And just being around construction workers, you know, and today it's almost like natural. People just curse. Everything is cursing. Well, I picked up a habit of cursing, and I could just turn that on and off. And, you know, I just had a four-letter vocabulary. But the moment I got born again, I remember the day. And I came home, and I had a sports car, and I'm working on that sports car. And I did something and kind of banged my hand as I was underneath the car doing something. And instead of profanity coming out, nothing came out. And there was just that day I received Christ, I remember there was a stirring and a like a burning down here. And it was just a fire down here in my spirit, man. And of course, you know, I said, what is going on? What happened to me? Something changed. Yeah, I'm a new person now. I'm not that old person anymore. What do we just say? A new life has begun. And this is another Bible translation. It's called the Dean Translation, D-E-A-N-E, of 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it says, and the true Christian is not merely a man altered, but a man remade. See, we've been remade. We're brand new. We're a brand new person in Christ. I've got a brand new identity. And the devil doesn't want you to meditate on that. And the entrance of his word coming in will remind us and encourage us and strengthen us that we've got a new life. We have a brand new identity. You know, just think about just some natural things. You know, they have something that if you testify and it's a significant kind of, you know, whether it's government or whatever, they can put you in what's a witness protection program. And in some situations, you know, the U.S. Marshals and the government, they facilitate that. and they provide 24/7 protection. Now, I don't know if they do that in all cases, but in some cases they do. And so they'll give you what? A brand new identity, brand new identification cards. You are somebody different. You're not. You don't have the same name. You're not the same address. So you have a brand new identity. You've been redone, you see? And so even just in natural things, you know, you go to the bank or you go fly or travel, they want some identification. Like, who are you? They want to know that you are who you say you are. So identity is key. And, you know, in the spiritual realm, when we touch as natural examples, but in the spiritual realm, we have the Word of God that tells us who we've become in Christ. And we've received eternal life from a spiritual standpoint. And that eternal life has made us a brand new person in Christ. It's His nature, His eternal life has come into me and made me brand new. It's no longer I that liveth. So if we look at Galatians 2:20 and the King James Version, you see the light of God's Word entering in and us doing what? Confessing this truth. And it'll become more real to us. You know, how do things become more real to people just confessing natural things? You know, people don't get to a level of unbelief automatically. People don't get to a level of anger or worry automatically. What do? They take a thought and they begin meditating on it and they begin talking about it. And they water it and they feed it and they keep feeding it with what? What they say. And they move from one level of worry or anger or any kind of thing that the devil pushes. You move from one level of that to another. And it's by watering it. And faith is the same. If we would let the Word of God, the entrance of His Word, or faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if we would keep watering it, we'll move from one level of faith, from, let's say, a one level of faith to another level of faith by feeding on the Word, mixing our confession with faith, and we'll find that these things that we speak and meditate upon will become more real to us. So Galatians 2:20 and verse, let's read this here in the King James. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now, we have to stop back here. Paul, when he says I, he's really talking about who? The real Paul, the real man, is the one who's on the inside, not the natural man. He didn't go to the cross with Christ. He wasn't in the natural. He wasn't crucified with Christ. There were two prisoners there that were crucified. So when he says I, the word I am crucified with Christ, he's talking about the spirit of a man, the old man. He's talking about I, meaning the real person was the spirit of a person. So he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, what? I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is another translation. It's called the Laubach translation of Galatians 2:20. It says, Christ took me to the cross with him, and I died there with him. See, he identified with us so that we could identify with him. So here it says, Christ took me to the cross, and there I died with him. So how can we say we were crucified with Christ? Paul wasn't speaking on a natural standpoint or from a natural standpoint. Paul was speaking, we were sharing this past Sunday, this new revelation, this new system of truth, this new covenant that we have. Paul was speaking that new truth or that new revelation. How? By the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. So if we had a, and I always believe this, if we had a greater revelation of who we are in Christ and the authority that we have in him, we would not try to identify or yield to identify with the world and its ways. You know, the greater revelation we have that who we've become in Christ, then the world's ways would not appeal to us. It would be Christ's ways. His ways would be more appealing to us. This is another translation. It's called the Distilled Translation of Galatians 2:20. And I like this. This just says it a different way, but it says, I consider myself as having died and now enjoying a second existence, which is simply Jesus using my body. Isn't that a wonderful way of expressing that? So Jesus is living in me by his Spirit, and he's using my faculties. He's thinking through me. He's working through me in this natural realm. Hallelujah. So here, when we look at, I wanted to just re-look at these scriptures here, Romans chapter 6 in the Weymouth translation, Romans chapter 6 and verses 6 and 7, it says, this we know, that our old self was nailed to the cross with him. See, I've been crucified with him. In order that what? Our sinful nature might be deprived of its power, so that we should no longer be the slaves of sin. For he who has paid the penalty of death stands absolved from his sin. So I like this. This is Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. In the Passion Translation, it says, so now the case is closed. See, we could say this. All that Jesus did, we became a new creature in Christ. We can say now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. For the law of the Spirit of life flowing through the anointing of Jesus has what? Liberated us from the law of sin and death. So the reason we share and keep sharing these scriptures is because the payment for sin, it says Jesus didn't just pay for sin, when in other words, the Romans chapter 8, it says he came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He didn't just come to pay for sin, he became sin. And he became sin in all of its ways, he became it. And so there's nothing that the devil represents or stands for that has not been defeated in Christ. So the power of sin to cause us to desire things has been broken. So it cannot lord itself over us. You know what I mean by that? In other words, it can't make you or lord you or master you to do something. You now have a will. You have the power of Christ is in you to help you to overcome those passions, attitudes, habits. They've been broken. The power of those have been broken in our lives. So this is the wonderful thing about the resurrection power of Christ, that he knew that the weakness of the law could not change mankind, couldn't change their hearts, couldn't change that old nature, but the power of Christ did. It broke the power of that old man, that old nature, Satan's nature. He broke that in mankind. So in other words, the power of Satan to control mankind was broken. He said, I hold the keys of death and hell, or hell and death. So for us, anytime there's an accusing voice of condemnation, you know exactly where it's coming from. It's not from God. So you know that if it's coming that way, and there's an accusing voice of what you did, what you, how you lived, and so forth, you know it's the devil trying to make you feel, as they say, a certain way. And you can respond with the word of God and say, no, I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. You know, when we talk about sin, we can also talk about sickness. And so if sin, the power of sin, has been broken over us, then also the power of sickness. If sin can't lord itself over us, neither can sickness, because the power of that has been broken. So Paul exhorts us in Romans chapter 6 and verse 11 in the New Living Translation. He said, so you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. See, this is our identity, that the power of sin has been broken, and we should what? Consider ourselves to be dead to it, because we are. And we don't have to yield. We can yield to the resurrection life that is within us. And Philippians 1:21 in the New Living Translation, it says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So it says here, living means what? Living for Christ. Glory to God. So we were what? We not only died with Christ, we were what? We were buried with him. So we were crucified with Christ. We died with Christ. We were buried with him. We were quickened and made alive with him. We were raised from the dead with him. And what? Seated with him. And so we do what? We share the authority of his throne. And we are what? Triumphant in Christ. This is our new identity. And the more we feed upon this, the more we meditate on it, and more we confess it and mix faith, it becomes more real. Now, you may get more opposition, because the devil doesn't want you to see it and know it and walk in it. So we need to feed upon it. So let's take a look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 32 in the Message translation. And this really says a lot here in the Word of God. So as we look at this, we see that Jesus conquered what? The devil. He conquered the world, and he conquered the flesh. So what is, and the scriptures, it says that whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, what? Even our faith. He said this was the purpose of the Son of God, 1 John 3:8, this was the purpose of the Son of God, that what? Why he was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So these things have been destroyed, and the Message translation of Romans 8:32, I just love the way this reads. It said, if God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? Wow, that's tremendous. I'm going to read it again. Romans 8:32 in the Message. It said, if God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? This is another translation called the Jordan translation of this verse. And it says it's similar, but I like this, the way this reads. It says, how then shall we respond to all of this? If God is rooting for us, I like this. If God is rooting for us, who can win over us? Right? If he didn't hold back his own son, but put him in the game for us all, won't he even more gladly, in addition to his son, equip us with all we need to win the game? Isn't that wonderful? So our new identity, when it what comes with it, is that we are an heir of God and what? A joint heir with Christ. Everything we need is in Christ. He overcame the devil. He overcame the world. He overcame the flesh. And so with that resurrection life, with that new nature, his nature in us, he's given us everything we need and equipped us to win the game, to win in life. Hallelujah. So the devil here, he will do everything to steal the word from us and keep you from understanding your identity in Christ. He wants us, as I said before, to focus on the natural and see ourselves in the natural. 2 Corinthians 4:18. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, if we would just stay steady and stay with the Word of God, I know Pastor Clinton used to say this years ago when he was alive. He said, you know, this generation that we live in is like a microwave generation. We want to just push a button and everything, boop, it's done. And spiritual things don't necessarily work that way, but they work, and they will work because the Word of God is God, and his Word is the power of God, and it will work if we mix faith with it, and it'll change things, change our circumstances. This is what we were saying, that everything, the Jordan translation, everything that we need, we've been equipped with to win in life, to win in the game. Hallelujah. So let's just take a look. You know, the thing that Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 in the King James, we've been delivered. It says here, who hath delivered us? This is my new identity. We've been delivered from the power of darkness, and he has translated us, hath translated us, into the kingdom of his dear son. And so if you look at that verse, the devil can only operate as the power of darkness. His works only succeed in the dark. but the light of the gospel entering in, shining in, exposes the deception. It exposes his works. And so this is why in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in the King James, when it says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest," see, lest what? "The light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So when we let the light of the glorious gospel shine in, it exposes all of this nonsense and mess that the devil tries to get us to focus on. You know, I say this, you know, if you just keep confessing whatever it is that you're believing for to win in life, if you just keep saying it, it will push back the darkness. It will expose, it will give you wisdom to know how to navigate in life if you just keep saying it. You know, one of the things that I keep thinking about, you know, a lot of times these natural minds that we have, they're fearfully and wonderfully made. And then in the same breath, we're trying to figure out how something's going to work, how it's going to come to pass. And if we would just stick with the word and keep confessing that I have something, then doors will open and opportunities will come in ways that you couldn't figure it out. You couldn't make something like that come to pass. But if you'll just stay steady, just be patient, and God will unfold and set up the path that you're to walk. So a lot of times, if we'll just keep confessing the word, keep meditating on it, let it shine in, he'll show us how to walk. He'll show us the doors to walk through. So as I said before, our new identity in Christ must be accepted, must be received, and what? Mixed with faith. So let's look, as we just finish up here, New Living Translation of Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1, 2, and 3. And this is our new identity. "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ," see, we've been raised to new life with Christ, "set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand." And verse 2, "Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God." That's where my real life is hidden, with Christ in God. And so the more we meditate on this, we won't live, as we find ourselves reading the Word of God, we'll begin to find out, wow, I didn't know that was my privilege. Well, if I see that I'm living beneath that privilege, then I have the right to go before God and to do what? Claim that. It says, what does it say in 1 John 5:14 and 15? "This is the confidence that I have in him," in Christ, "that if I ask anything according to his will," see, when I find it in the word, that's his will, "he hears us." And verse 15, "and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask," that word "ask" means to demand, ask in faith, "we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him." And see, this is where patience comes in, because we're like, okay, I got it. Where is it? I want it tomorrow. Well, a lot of times it doesn't work that way. And so you have to trust and believe God that when you've asked something according to his will, he's heard you. And if you know he heard you and it's his will, then it's yours. You take it by faith. And from that point forward, you thank him for what you've received. Glory to God. And you thank him that you've become a new person in Christ. And you thank him that your privileges are in him. Glory to God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you that we are new persons, new creations, brand new persons in Christ, bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. And it's the blood that has redeemed us. And we thank you for the precious blood of Jesus that has broken the power of sin in our lives and caused us to walk in newness of life. We thank you that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And Father, we thank you that we will reach out and take new territory in Christ and for Christ. We thank you that we are about his purposes and not ours. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you for the reality of your word impressing upon our hearts who we've become in Christ. And we rejoice and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Well, as we wrap up this evening and we begin to take time to receive our offering this evening, before we do that, I'd just like to extend to those who may be watching, most we know are new persons in Christ. They've become Christians. They become born again. And if that's not your situation, maybe you're struggling in life and maybe you just happen to be tuning in or saw this broadcast. If you don't know Christ, you can win in him. You can win in life in Christ. He defeated the devil. He defeated the world and its systems. He defeated this flesh and overcame it, the power of it. And so he has, as a Christian, he has taken up residence and he has come into me to help me overcome these weaknesses that are in our flesh and the things that we confront in life. So he's given us the power to win and overcome in life. So if you have never asked Jesus to come into your heart, now is the day for you to do that. And just if you would say this simple prayer and believe in your heart and confess with your mouth this profession of faith, Father, I believe that you sent your Son here to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. I believe that Jesus is the Redeemer. He is the Christ. And I believe that he came and took my sins, and I believe he took them to hell. And when sin was paid for, we were redeemed and resurrected from the dead. And I thank you that we are now seated with him in heavenly places in Christ. I believe that he was raised from the dead. I believe that in my heart and confess it with my mouth. I now confess that I am a new person in Christ. I am saved, and I will live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you professed that profession of faith and don't recall, then just contact us with the information on that screen, and let us know that you've become a brand new person in Christ, and we'll send you some free information as to who you've become in Christ, and we'll rejoice with you. Praise God.